Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill. How you doing?
Oh, I'm swell. I'm swell. So,
are you fist bumping people or elbow bumping people and paying attention to the directions from various places about how to avoid coronavirus? Which I don't know that we can, but we should try to.
We should
contain it if we can.
Yeah. Not only am I doing that, even Marshall, who is notorious for never missing a day of work. Was ailing. He didn't have the virus, but he was ailing, and mm-hmm. he stayed home, thereby alarming people who have for 60, some odd years. They thought for sure this was it. They thought that was going to be the end of him, and it was no. Actually, we're just trying to keep a lid on things.
He was just being considerate.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I know. Fancy.
And also, he's lucky because he has the discretion to be able to do that. But I think at this point, with this disease or the threat of it becoming as widespread as it is, employers might want to think about giving all their employees a little leeway when it comes to this.
And are they, just out of curiosity, are they not? Because it is so difficult to filter from the news bulletins, let's just say, so-and-so is asking them to work from home. This is closed. This is what regular people are actually doing. The thing that was going around the station came from, again, not coronavirus, but it came from someone going to a hockey tournament at Lake Placid. It's just a young kid.
Somebody feeling that they're indispensable and they have to come to work because they have something due. So they come to work sick, and then everybody gets sick. It's how a lot of things race through the workplace because there are a couple of people who just feel like they can't stay home. Either they can't stay home because they don't have enough sick time, or they can't stay home because they're considered indispensable, or they think they're considered indispensable. And they feel pressure to come to work even when they know they're not well. And that's going to cost us on all kinds of levels soon if we don't revise the way we do things.
Right.
As is. I know that we've gotten a lot of advice to keep a couple weeks' worth of, soup, crackers, ibuprofen, paper towel, stuff that you
normally medication.
You have a bad cold at home. But I was at a store, which will go unmentioned, but I hope it figures out that it might need to revise this policy of take what you want. Checking out, and the guy in front of me had 20 flats of water, bottled water, in his cart, and checked them out, went into the parking lot, unloaded them into his car, left his cart behind someone else's car, so they're going to have
to bush it or smash into it.
And blithely drove off, and I thought, boy, what a jerk. But also, some people are not going to be reasonable about this. They're going to be, well, if they're saying have 2 weeks worth of water, which would be, two flats for me, then I'm going to get as many as I can cram into my car because I want to make sure I'm fine. And if that means other people don't have water, oh, well, they should have gotten here at the same time as me.
And I was just going to say the problem with that is, it's human nature almost to, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to look out for me first. But there's
human nature to want to, but if you think about it in terms of the logic of self-preservation, okay, so you've got water up to the ceiling in your house, which means you're going to run out of something else at some point, then you're still going to have to go outside, and you're still going to be freaking out because you're outside and it's out there. Viruses are everywhere all the time, including this one. And so going overboard doesn't do anything but inspire panic in everybody else. And then everything gets totally out of hand.
And I'm watching people, again, who on a certain level just should know better, sort of focusing their ambient anxieties on this particular thing. There's a level of, if you've ever raised a kid, there's a level of planning ahead, and this is kind of interesting, that has seemed to be fading from fashion as things can be droned to you instantly, you know, without...
Yes, and we should plan ahead more. And I mean, a lot of people may feel like, well, I don't have the space, you know, I don't have a closet that I can put a month's supplies in. But that's because our closets are filled with a bunch of junk that we need to clean out. And yeah, I mean, that would be a big help. But this business of, I have to have as much as I can possibly have, I don't think that serves anybody well.
No, and as a matter of fact, it's one of the, in a crisis situation, you're only as good as, in a funny way, the people around you. So
right.
You're going to have to share any. It's no good if you sit there eating your five-course meal while the three people around you have no crackers. Like, what? You can't.
And also, you know, it's human nature to want to survive and to make sure that in order that you can do that, that you do whatever you deem necessary. So it may be that you've got a house full of food and you get somebody knocking on your door, you know, with pitchforks and lighted...
torches.
Whatever you call those things. Yeah, torches.
Right.
Saying, okay, it's time for you to share because the neighborhood is starving.
Right. And that can totally be preempted.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, again, this is one of the benefits of not, you know, living smack in the middle of the city anymore, is you do get... it's an old, I think it's Horace, it is your affair when your neighbor's wall is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way, way back, but it is. And, you know, as cross as people might get with each other around here, and of course we do, these are the same people who are going to come to your house if your wall/house is on fire or you have a physical crisis, because there's still volunteer fire and volunteer ambulance, and you're going to see them. And
yeah.
that lends a lot to your sense of, it's like, all right, you know, of course I'm going to share. Of course,
mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes just easier in a community when that is where you see the interdependence. And, you know, again, there could be a little bit more of that. And in a lot of cases, people are, again, going to be trying to preserve. Doesn't matter. I just need enough for me and so and so for 2 weeks, and
yes.
That's why somebody just asked.
They're not getting enough for 2 weeks. They're getting enough for 2 months because
yeah.
They're frightened, and I understand frightened, but I also understand that you're stocking up for 2 months means three other families don't get anything for 2 weeks because you've taken it all, and part of the responsibility is on us because we have to be rational about this. And part of the responsibility is on businesses who let people take mass quantities of things out of their stores. Now, some stores are designed for mass quantities, you know, like Sam's Club or Costco or something like that. They are designed for that, but they are designed for that in regular times. I think they have to rethink what it means to have these kinds of supplies, to sell these kinds of supplies during irregular times, when it matters, when you want most people, if not all people, to be able to avail themselves of your wares.
Right, and that's a sort of responsible, again, it's a form of responsible management and responsible inventory control and responsible business protocols that a lot of people haven't had to think about for some time, and
mm-hmm.
It would be quite efficient for the... I noticed with interest that Campbell's Soup was trying to ramp up production so that people could have more canned goods, and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And I am certain that somewhere in the moldy old moth-eaten files someplace, if people still have them, are what used to be known as a contingency plan for a situation when, you know, when times were irregular. But people mm-hmm. have just kind of gotten so far away from that sense that instead of sort of connecting, it's like, all right, well, what can I do here, and how can I be sensible? And again, this is not to understate how nervous making this all is. It's just to say, mm-hmm. all right, well, within the confines of being nervous, is there some stuff that I should do, and yeah. should I be a little more conscientious about the people around me, knowing that, again, it's not going to do anybody any good if I've got 2 years worth and mm-hmm. and my two neighbors don't have any.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if not hoarding can keep people from being sick, it's in everybody's interest that we do that.
And what I'm somewhat struck by is there doesn't seem to be a connection to the fact that this will pass.
Eventually, but I think people are just thinking in the now. It's like, oh, I heard this on the radio. I'm going to walk out and get this taken care of, and I'm going to make sure that I have, you know, enough to keep this in the house for the next 3 months. It's like, well, it's not nuclear. It's not a nuclear attack. It's a viral attack. They're working on, you know, developing a vaccine. Most cases of it at this point look to be pretty mild, sometimes indistinguishable from a case of the flu. But, you know, viruses morph. They turn into other things. We don't know for sure, but we do know that right now, this minute, you don't need 200 flats of water in your garage.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the Right Thing.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.